107 FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings on this Tuesday. Sean, Dalton, Kelly, Dr. Bill, Kane with traffic. Glad y'all are here. Text line popping to at 343-0106. And let me, for a second, going to Quinn Hillier here in just a second. But I want to say this. First of all, this Person of the Year thing that Time does, which is ripped off directly from our, each year we do the Alabamian of the Year.
They totally ripped
they
us off.
They completely ripped us off with this. By the way, still taking nominations for nominees for Alabamian of the Year. Remember, just drop us a line on the text line, but put in something in the just in the front of it. Just say, my suggestion for Alabamian of the Year or Alabamian of the Year, something that helps us when we're looking through all these texts to sort these out. And then give us the person, the group, the critter, the entity, the event, whatever, that most influenced the news cycle in Alabama in 2018. You give us that through our text line. You can do it on the pinned status on our Facebook page, facebook.com/FMTalk1065. Our Twitter feed, at FMTalk1065. And probably keep it to those right now, unless you have, you're not on any social media and you don't text. Then you could email us. I guess you could write us a postcard and send it in, but make sure to get moving quickly with that, because we're chomping at the bit to seat our brackets. It's just like March Madness. We put up nominees against nominees, and then y'all vote, and we winnow down that list going towards the end of this month and the beginning of the new year. And then speaking of the people that ripped us off, Time Magazine, I got to say that journalists, they just said journalists, well, here it is. Here's a clip.
And I don't know why you're surprised when we podcast the way we do. Of course, they're going to listen and see what we're
right,
doing.
Time Magazine, every day, they're like, what did they do? All right, here's TJ Coutini from Westwood One.
The group is made up of four journalists and a newspaper. The Times says are representatives of a broader fight by countless others around the world. The magazine says they recognize the person or persons who most influenced the news and world for better or for worse during the...
All right, so but my problem is I had this list as of yesterday, and I read it this morning as well, and I feel like we've had one pulled over on us here, because the list, the short list, this is, they said, here's their short list, and they had President Trump, Separated Families, Vladimir Putin, Robert Mueller, Ryan Coogler, Christine Blasey Ford, Jamal Khashoggi, March for Our Lives activist, and Moon Jae-in had made their list. Never on their short list did they say that they would have journalists on there. And then all of a sudden, they come out today and say journalists win. So was this some Baker Mayfield kind of thing? Or did journalists have a good game there at the end? And all of a sudden, I'm bothered when Time puts out the short list and then the person or persons or whatever, the entity that wins, wasn't even on the short list.
And I think this might have been a bit of a misstep on the rollout by Time, because reading more about this, it appears that they're talking about slain journalists, the slain journalists from the Capitol Gazette shootings in Annapolis, Maryland. So they added them to the list, but everyone's been reporting just journalists, Khashoggi and journalists. But I'm seeing now Maria Ressa Wallone and Kia So-O, and also the Capitol Gazette of Annapolis, Maryland journalists. So journalists that have been, I guess, murdered this year.
Okay, so there's more detail on it, but still doesn't take away from the fact that Time releases their short list yesterday.
And then added to it.
And then added to it.
Right.
Okay, so I want to get Quinn Hillier's opinion on this and a whole lot more. Hey, Quinn.
Hey, Sean, look, if you didn't do the slain part in front of journalists, if you're just doing journalists, Person of the Year should have been Kelly Finley for having the prettiest voice on radio.
Okay.
I'll let y'all have your moment here. Okay. All right. Are you finished with all that? Are you two finished? Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I'm just bothered, really. I'm not even discussing who they picked as Person of the Year. I'm just bothered by Time yesterday. This is just
absurd.
Thank you. It's like a media semantics thing, but it bothers me to have this list. Here's our short list, and then you're looking, which one will it be? None of them.
Do they have the different covers as well, too? The various regions of the nation? Mm-hmm.
There you go.
Uh-huh.
All right. So, Quinn, a lot to get into here, but let's talk about a name being bandied about this morning. Somebody who's obviously known to you, has been on the show with me a couple times over the years, has some links back here to the state of Alabama, is one of the names out there, and I don't know if it will be the choice or not, for President Trump to replace John Kelly as chief of staff, and that's Dave Bossie.
Yes. Yesterday, there was a list of five names of possible new chiefs of staff. Bossie was on it, then later in the day, three different publications, including the Washington Examiner, reported he was on the short list. David Bossy, who, by the way, married a girl from Dothan and vacations down here fairly often. David Bossy is a longtime conservative activist. He's tough as nails. He's smart as a whip. He's politically savvy. He's, you know, the old expression, honest as the day is long. He's headed a group called Citizens United, which, of course, was the subject of one of the most famous Supreme Court decisions of all time, which Bossy won. And he is the guy who actually is probably more responsible than anybody else for Donald Trump being president, mm-hmm. whether you like that or not, because in the last 10 days of the campaign, Trump was way down in the polls, and there was a big debate within the campaign, how do we pull this out? And Bossy said, you got to go to the Midwest, you got to go to the Rust Belt, you got to put time and resources into Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, Ohio, and Michigan. And everybody said, well, we can't win those states anymore. And Bossy said, the hell we can't, that's middle America. And he was the one that insisted that Trump do that, and sure enough, that's what got Trump over the top. So, you know, if you're looking for a guy who's been around, who understands politics, who also is tough enough and organized enough to run a White House, whether you like Trump or not, you've got to want the White House to be run well. This is our White House as Americans, and I can think of nobody better than my friend Dave Bossy.
Yeah, and just side note, too, I think the last time I talked to Bossy was he was talking about his book he co-authored with Lewandowski, that Let Trump Be Trump, the inside story of the rise to the presidency, where I guess he lays out all those things you just said. Now, we'll go back to the discussion from a second ago, and I worry that we're given a short list, and just like Time Magazine, it'll be somebody who's not on the short list who will come out. But there were a lot of no's yesterday and the day before for being the next chief of staff.
Yeah, well, it's a tough job. Trump is not very easily manageable. He likes to be surrounded by chaos. He actually likes to be surrounded in his personal space by chaos, but that means that not only is he unmanageable, but the White House staff becomes unmanageable when the guy at the top doesn't really want it managed. On the other hand, to get anything done, you've got to have some semblance of order. Reportedly, Nick Ayers, the chief of staff to the vice president, was basically offered the job, but he was told he would have to keep it for 2 years. And Ayers said, look, I've got to go back home to Georgia at some point. I can do it for up to a year, but I can't commit to two right in advance. So Trump said, it's not you. And that's what reopened the list, as I say, about four or five names now.
Okay, so out of those, I mean, you're talking about the merits of Bossy, and I appreciate that. Do you have a feeling of who may be the lead horse in this?
The last name, Bossy was actually the second last name I saw added to the list, because the list was only about two or three, and then it was four or five. But the fifth name added to the list is the guy that right now is the acting attorney general, this guy Whitaker, who's just there temporarily replacing Jeff Sessions until Bill Barr can be confirmed. If Trump liked him enough to have him even temporarily head up the entire Justice Department, that tells me that Trump really trusts him. And while Trump trusts Bossy too, and while Bossy has run some big things, he's never run anything as big as the Justice Department. This guy Whitaker obviously is seen by Trump as somebody who has those executive skills. My bet would be on Whitaker. My choice would be Bossy, but my bet would be on Whitaker.
Well, you know, if you're looking for somebody in the chief of staff position that is going to be a go-to person from political defense of the president, seems like with all the criticism Whitaker has taken, it defines him to me as somebody that would be good in that position.
Yeah, but Whitaker hasn't really shown any ability to fight back over the criticism. He's been sort of muzzled.
Well, he was doing it before he was named the acting
attorney
general.
I've never actually seen Whitaker do anything that is that great as a communicator. That is, by the way, one of Bossy's strengths. I mean, this guy.
I agree with you. He's good.
Coming out today, even in the 90s when the media wanted to hate Dave Bossy because he was the chief investigator against the Clintons, there's this article in the Washington Post by Lloyd Grove where he quoted journalists who sort of reluctantly, sheepishly said, you know, this guy not only really communicates well, but even though we don't like what he's saying, if he tells us it's a fact, we can trust him. He's never been anything but a straight shooter. Somebody that can get the respect of a media that doesn't want to respect him, that's Dave Bossy. That's a heck of a skill to have.
Do you think that's possible in today's world? Do you think that Bossy, while not chief of staff, people say, yeah, he's a good guy, we can probably straight shooter. The second he's chief of staff, then the attack media goes into saying, well, he's horrible.
Well, if he's named chief of staff, it becomes, you know, they'll dredge up his work against the Clintons again and say this is just a partisan hatchet man. And, of course, they'll say that. But meanwhile, you'll probably see the message out of the White House becoming very, very focused. So even if they attack Bossy, the White House itself will probably, I think, do a more politically adept job than John Kelly was able to do at positioning themselves to get through it. Now, Trump himself, of course, with his tweets, sort of breaks through the media, but the overall White House communications response has sometimes been a day late and a dollar short. That won't happen if Bossy's chief of staff.
All right. And Quinn, remind folks, too, Matt Jones, the trilogy available for purchase now. Somebody looking for a Christmas gift, that might be a great idea.
It's really a great idea, and I'd love to talk about this again at length at some point to help people explain what this book is about and why it's these books and why they're so fun. But Matt Jones at Amazon.com.
All right, and you get the trilogy there, and you can get a little debriefing on what the books are about right there on the Amazon page.
There you go.
All right, and the website is?
My website is QuinnHillier.com, but now you can see everything I write, now everything new, at Quinn Hillier, Washington Examiner. Just Google those words, and you'll see a whole list.
There you go, Quinn. We appreciate it. We'll check back with you next week.
Thank you.
All right, we'll take your calls when we get back. 343-0106. 343-0106. Somebody said, have I seen the Kavanaugh ruling? We'll read that story here coming up in just a second. Also, Baby, It's Cold Outside, and the remake out there, the politically correct remake. It's all straight ahead here, y'all. Hey, thank you, Kane. 824 FM Talk 106.5. The phone number, text line, same number, 343-0106. 343-0106. Love to talk to y'all on the telephone or on the text line. So hit us up there. And a heads up, too. Christmas coming very, very soon. You got family and friends coming in. Might be a Christmas party. Might be Ken coming in to stay with you for the Christmas holiday. It's time to get the house cleaned up. I'm not throwing stones here. I'm just suggesting that maybe you want to get the junk gone. And I can suggest for sure the man that can make it happen very quickly. That's my buddy Trey Bennett from 1-800-GOT-JUNK. He will come. They will first set an appointment time that's specific. A specific hour, a specific day, no spectrum of time. They know you're busy. They know you have a job and a real schedule to keep up with. So they set that time. You agree on the appointment time. And you get the junk, and they come out, pick it up, and take it away. And, I mean, that is the simple. Now the places they'll do it is what's so wide-ranging. It could be up in the attic, in the crawl space. It could be the swing set in the backyard. It could be your storage building out back, or the whole storage building, or what's in it. It could be a storage unit off-site. It could be a house you got to get ready to sell. It could be an office. It could be anywhere you have junk and you need gone. He can do that. But at the same time, you know, he does that. He does it very quickly and efficiently and gets you on with your day. 1-800-GOT-JUNK is the phone number. Or go to the website and check him out as well. 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com. All right, 826, and we'll grab some phone calls. Thomas is checking in from Theodore. Hey, Thomas.
Good morning, Sean. Good morning, Finley. Good morning, Dalton.
Good morning,
hi,
Thomas.
Thank you for having me on.
Oh, our pleasure. Yes.
Thank you. Yes, you are a journalist, Kelly. That's what Quinn said.
Very
yeah,
true.
Quinn said that.
Yes.
And anyways, I'm all upset. I've been clipped in all night long. Trump tried to fire Kavanaugh overnight. He did, and then that guy Kushner, he came out and said, you can't fire that guy. I want to fire John Roberts, too. You can't fire them. I want him chief of staff, and then I'll fire him. Who would want this job knowing that they're going to be humidified, they're going to be berated, they're going to be fired, they're going to career-ending job, what Trump's going to do to him. And Trump is mad because Ayers won't take it, and he's going to dive.
How do you know he's mad? I mean, how do you know? And by the way, too, for y'all who have not heard Thomas before, his initial rant about the SCOTUS folks, that was satire. All right, how do you know that Ayers mad?
Okay, Rosie O'Donnell, she turned him down over the weekend.
There you go. And, now that one's solid news.
Sunday morning, Chris Christie goes, I wouldn't touch that job unless Mueller turned in his badge and his keys.
And I tell you right now, if I had to put money on it, Thomas, I think it's Chris Christie that ends up being chief of staff. That's okay. So I just
Chris Christie's not going to take that
okay.
job.
All right.
John, are you kidding me?
What good?
He
give me some good
that,
odds.
He knows that Trump's days are over. That he's going down with the ship. He doesn't want to go down with the ship. He's in with CBS now.
How much? What do you give me in odds? Hey, Thomas, what do you give me in odds on this then? If I take that, I mean, it's a long shot. Do I get 100 to 1? What do I get on that?
I'd probably give you 100 to 1.
Okay, good,
yeah,
good deal.
Yeah.
All right, bet.
This is the end of the Trump.
Okay.
Trumpster. He's finished.
All right, what did Mark Twain say?
Don't throw stones.
No, it was...
oh, he's so sweet.
Reports of my demise have been exaggerated, and I would say that Donald Trump could say the same thing.
Didn't Chris Christie, though, when he initially was offered a few jobs ago, when he was being mentioned, he said he wasn't going to go to D.C. because his wife mm-hmm. and family wanted him in mm-hmm. New Jersey after mm-hmm. the whole Bridgegate situation,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
You don't believe in that?
I have heard so many politicians say,
mm-hmm.
Both sides, both parties, everybody,
it's not
any partisan, that I'm never doing this again, or I'm out of this, then they'll go,
right.
Well, Thomas, I appreciate the call. Upon reconsideration, then uh-huh. blah, blah, blah. I want to quickly run to what he did mention, what Thomas was mentioning about Kavanaugh. Story from the Daily Caller says, Supreme Court declined to review 3 cases relating to Republican efforts to defund Planned Parenthood at the state level on Monday over a vigorous dissent from Justice Clarence Thomas. The dissent was significant because it indicates that Justice Brett Kavanaugh sided with the High Court's liberal wing to deny review of a lower court decision that favored the nation's largest abortion provider. A quote here from Justice Thomas says, so what explains the court's refusal to do its job here? I suspect it has something to do with the fact that some respondents in these cases are named Planned Parenthood. Some tenuous connection to a politically fraught issue does not justify abdicating our judicial duty. If anything, neutrally applying the law is all the more important when political issues are in the background. I would agree. Now, Justices Alito and Gorsuch joined the Thomas dissent, meaning there were 3 votes in favor of taking up the case. Since 4 votes are needed for the Supreme Court to take up a case, the opinion indicates that Chief Justice John Roberts and Kavanaugh joined the 4 liberals to deny the review. The move could indicate that Roberts and Kavanaugh are loath to take up the abortion-related question in the aftermath of Kavanaugh's contentious confirmation. If we have time, we'll talk about this some more after the break, because you can look at it one way and say, oh, well, that's Kavanaugh, you know, not wanting to take up an abortion case. Remember, he was decried as he was going to be this, this person who's going to come in and change the court when
Roberts.
It came to...
Roberts.
Yeah, he's going to change that. But maybe his dissent is on the case brought before them, not the issue at hand, but how that case is brought before them.
Thanks, Kane. 836 here on FM Talk 106.5. This is Mobile Mornings. Let's talk to Mitch McConnell from McConnell Automotive. Hey, Mitch.
Good morning, Dalton. How are you, big guy?
I'm doing great, and I'm trying to wrap up my Christmas shopping list. I know a lot of other people out there just like me. You know what would look great under the Christmas tree? A nice new vehicle from McConnell Automotive. What do you have for all those Christmas shoppers out there, Mitch?
Well, Dalton, you know what's so exciting to us is the deal that you could have gotten in January, February, any month other than the year, probably on every vehicle, including the Terrain, which is an incredible little SUV. But the most popular thing we have right now is our Z71 truck in the Yukon. We're literally saving people almost $13,000 off the MSRP off a truck, Dalton. So if you check that deal out, or let's say a UConn deal, almost $10,000 off, is $3,000-$5,000 better than even last month's sale that was such a huge success. So in my mind, Dalton, that saves people enough money to buy a bunch of Christmas presents. If you're going to buy a car, you know, any month, last month or next month, if you're in that mood, you got to buy one from us this month at McConnell.
All right. We appreciate it, Mitch. Have a good one.
We'll put a bow on it for him, Dalton.
Oh, man, that is perfect. If you got some Christmas shopping to get done for yourself or someone you love, head on over to McConnell Automotive. See the crew there on Dauphin Street, just east of I-65.
Right, phone number, text line, 343-0106, 343-0106. I want to finish up this Daily Caller story because this is the reason you should read through a whole story.
Yes.
You should quite often look at two stories at least about any subject and trying to get a little bit more information.
No way. I just read headlines. That's the way to go.
Well, this goes back to the Kavanaugh thing. So, I mean, remember, I would point out that opponents of Kavanaugh, one of the things that they were screaming about early was that he was set up as a change agent for Roe versus Wade. And they look back at his rulings of the past, his opinions, and even his Catholicism and said, listen, he's going to be there to do this. And I would argue that only within the constraints of the law would a justice do these things. So when everybody said yesterday, oh, he must not be wanting to take up an abortion case because of his contentious confirmation, as they said in the Daily Caller story, would move you down the second half of the story and point this out. It says, Monday's cases arose when Republican state leaders in Louisiana and Kansas stripped Planned Parenthood of state Medicaid funds after a pro-life advocacy group presented evidence that the abortion provider was harvesting and selling fetal materials. Remember that discussion. Planned Parenthood contests the accuracy of these claims. Planned Parenthood and several unnamed female patients challenged the state's move in federal court. Here's the key sentence. This is almost the whole way down. The legal question in Monday's cases was whether Medicaid recipients can challenge the disqualification of a provider under the Medicaid law. As such, it did not touch on abortion directly. Hmm. So saying, and I understand, it is accurate to say that the Kavanaugh sided with the liberals on the court. But if you look at it, he's siding not on the validity of Roe versus Wade. He's siding on the validity of whether this key sentence here, whether Medicaid recipients can challenge the disqualification of a provider under Medicaid law. Okay, that's the key to it. That's not Kavanaugh's opinion on anything. That's Kavanaugh saying that right there doesn't stand the test to become a case that would go in front of the Supreme Court. Fifth Circuit, First U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals, sided with Planned Parenthood on that question back in June of 2017, prompting an appeal to the Supreme Court. That ruling is left in place now that the justices have refused to take the case. But remember, and I understand the upset with pro-life groups that would like this case. I get that on a core essence side. I get that. But also understand that Kavanaugh could have signed it and said, we don't need to take this case. Not because it's not an abortion question. It's a question whether Medicaid and you cannot like it. I get that. But it's a case about whether Medicaid recipients can challenge the disqualification of a provider under the Medicaid law. That's the semantics of it. That's the nuance that's important in this. So I just want to throw that out there.
And you know what I love when situations like this is based on how, whomever you watch or whichever Twitter feed you watch is how they base headlines to your liking. So the Daily Caller says, breaking, Dems no longer hate Kavanaugh.
Yeah.
CNN says Republican Senator Susan Collins, who cast one of the decisive votes in favor of Brett Kavanaugh's confirmation, told reporters that she feels, quote, vindication after Kavanaugh voted in a case related to Planned Parenthood.
Right, and everybody's taking something that is not fully accurate and running it as a, once again, it was on it. Now, you could say, I don't have the judicial training, you know, at all to know if that nuance is correct, but that is what is standing out. They're saying the court is looking at a case that's about Medicaid recipients and a challenge, not about abortion. So I just want to point that out. You can disagree with it, but I want to point out that part of it, the story that's not making headlines.
Now, each Supreme Court justice is on a different, you know, they're each on the political spectrum somewhere. You have some that are far left.
I think all humans are.
Some are right. Yeah, all humans are. Mm-hmm. But do you think for the most part, for the, you know, the last so long of the Supreme Court, do you think they've done a pretty good job of trying to keep it by the book, by the law? Or do you think partisanship sometimes slips in there, and that's why people are expecting Kavanaugh to fight for their side?
So it's fascinating. I think it all comes through the eye of the beholder. You look at it, you can look through a series of decisions by the Supreme Court, and you can get people of these, just like the justices would have these different feelings, you could look through your political lens. And I can see a ruling by the Supreme Court, and I can see it as a complete affront to what is constitutional in this country. Somebody else can see it and say, hey, man, it meets all the parameters, it checks all the boxes. I mean, I think on Obamacare, this question if it was a tax or a penalty, and Roberts' decision, you know, the idea of socialized health care, of national health care, of these questions, to me was not one, and like I argued many times during the Obama administration, the things that former President Obama wanted to have happen in the world, I think those are good things. I just don't think they're the job of government. Mm-hmm. And there was my breakdown. It was my breakdown there about this idea of wanting more people to have health care, but also I don't believe it is the province of the government to dictate these things. And I could go through a million discussions why. Obviously, enough members of the Supreme Court disagreed, and it went forward.
But I think some people, when they hear a name, they automatically want to choose a side before they hear the argument. You know, you just said President Obama, so some people right there said, I totally disagree. But if they didn't hear the rest of the argument of what you're saying, they may actually agree with it. And just like saying the name President Trump. Some people are so repelled and so angry that they can't hear the rest of the argument. And same with Kavanaugh. I mean, when it comes to the justices, it's supposed to be about the rule of law. It's not based on their personal opinion.
Correct. That's what
it's
the about legislature
following
is
the rule
for.
Of law. Yeah.
But the legislature abdicates its job so often that it goes to the judicial branch.
Well, I also think with the whole Kavanaugh confirmation and Christine Blasey Ford and how big of a political debate that was, and people took sides, and a lot of people really, really went to bat for Kavanaugh, and they feel kind of like they've been, rightly or wrongly, they feel that they've been stabbed in the back because he's not doing exactly what they want, when that wasn't actually the job he signed up for.
So we'll see. We'll see what plays out down the road. But this idea that all of a sudden that Kavanaugh is some raging liberal who's, you know, a pro-abortion person, I think is a fallacy. Okay, I want to go through something we mentioned about Time Magazine's Person of the Year.
Right.
I started off the hour with my lament that they offer up a short list yesterday of people, things, movements, whatever, for their Person of the Year. And then here we hear at the beginning of the hour that it's somebody who was not even on that list. And then you were reading a story. Was The Hill had a story about
That's right. Yeah, there was an opinion piece in The Hill from Joe Concha, an opinion contributor, where he's writing that, you know, yesterday when Time Magazine announced their finalists, and among those finalists you had Donald Trump, the eventual winner, Jamal Khashoggi, which we were just talking about, they added some other journalists into that winning Time Person of the Year group. But one of the other names up there, Christine Blasey Ford, who, of course, levied the accusations against Kavanaugh leading into that confirmation process. She was on the list, but mysteriously missing was Brett Kavanaugh.
When I read it yesterday, that was the first question I had.
And we have this conversation every year. Time Person of the Year, when you see Person of the Year, you think that it would be a good person. But that's not what award is about. That's why Hitler has won the award twice. Stalin won it twice back in 39 and 42.
Ayatollah Khomeini, didn't he?
That's right. He won it in 79. It's about the person who most affected the news in our lives, whether for good or for the worse. And this opinion writer said that it appears things changed for Time back in 2001 after the 9/11 attacks, where Osama bin Laden clearly was the person in the entire world who caused, you know, the biggest, I mean, there was so much destruction.
Should have won Person of the Year.
That's right. But they say here that they wimped out. Time Magazine wimped out that year and awarded it to then New York City Mayor Rudy Giuliani. And he writes, since then, the magazine has chosen groups more often. You had the whistleblowers win the award back in 2002, Good Samaritans in 2005, the protester back in 2011, Ebola fighters in 2015, last year the Silence Breakers, and then this year again we have another group of journalists that won the award. And he's kind of writing that it seems like this is Time playing to their audience. They don't want to seem like the bad guy. And Trump won it back in 2016 when he was president-elect. And this opinion writer makes a good point. the news that comes from the White House, the news that comes from Washington every day, Trump has been the main source of news for the last 3 years. And if they were truly doing this the way that they claim to, Trump would have actually won it the last 3 years. But by not including Kavanaugh in that list, I think it hurts their credibility.
Yeah, I think it does as well. And then pulling an end around on us, not even having that person or group on the short list, and then all of a sudden rolling out something different leaves me unimpressed. By the way, you can be impressed with the fact that we use no set of rules, no real integrity of list making. Oh, come on. Y'all nominate the people. We put them in brackets for our Alabamian of the Year. Doing it again this year. Your nominees, welcome. Put them through on the text line, our Facebook page, or Twitter, and we'll start seeding those brackets next week. Right, 851 FM Talk 106.5. Another accident on 45 there at Roberts Road. Let me go back to my well-used manila file folders, things I've talked about over the decades. Something has to be done for 45. It has got to be four-laned. I drive that road a whole bunch, and I know there's a bunch of people nodding along with me. It is long since past, needing some improvement for sure. All right, I get a heads up for you. You know, usually this time of year, we're thinking about the Christmas presents we're buying. What about a little extra cash in your pocket to buy those presents this Christmas season? Got a way for you to do it. The folks at Lightstream believe that people with good credit deserve a great interest rate. And in doing that, you can get a credit card consolidation loan with rates as low as 6.14% APR with auto pay. Think about the national average is like 19% going up all the time. Well, if you lock in today at 6.14% APR, your rate's fixed, so as rates continue to rise, your low rate won't budge. You can get a loan from $5,000 to $100,000. You can even get your money as soon as the day you apply. Application 100% online, and there are no fees. So this holiday season, save even more with an additional interest rate discount. This is on top of what you're already getting. The only way to get that discount is to go to lightstream.com/Sullivan, my last name. LightStream.com/Sullivan. Subject to credit approval. Rate includes a 0.50% auto pay discount. Terms and conditions apply, and offers are subject to change without notice. Visit LightStream.com/Sullivan for more information. All right, 8:52, and we were talking about a couple things here. Number one, the Time Person of the Year. You know, what they've got their parameters and standards, and they talk about them, but then they don't live up to them.
Mm-hmm.
Is it jump the shark? If you are uninterested now in Time's Person of the Year, you should be interested in FM Talk 106.5's Alabamian of the Year. The person, the group, the critter.
lots of critters.
That most influenced the news cycle in 2018 in our state.
Yeah, last year, remember, we had Sassy, the horse.
That's right.
And
this year,
Clyde and Henrietta, the high-stepping turkeys, they're
What's
definitely
wrong with
in.
All of us?
We've added Breeze, the peacock, the Spring Hill peacock, remember, mm-hmm. he was on the loose. Also, Baldwin County foxes that keep attacking people on golf mm-hmm. courses. Bunch of critters in the bracket this year.
How about some more human beings? Let's get to, you know, your nominations are good, but some more human beings in on that. The person that could be for positive, negative, that most influenced the news cycle in 2018 in the state of Alabama. Love to hear from you. Right, I want to have time to get to this. I want to get to the baby it's cold outside thing.
Mm-hmm.
So this what is the... Yeah.
I have a lot of problems with that song. I think it's... no, I'm just joking. There's been so much cultural outrage over that, over Baby It's Cold Outside now.
You know, Mike from Sip and Chew sent me a graphic on the text line this morning. Did you see it?
No, I need to check that out.
Shannara picture and waiting for your case here on whether you've been affected by Baby It's Cold Outside. So the latest wrinkle to this is that Dina Martin, Dean Martin's daughter,
yes,
very creative,
with the extra
says her dad would be going insane about the debate over the song Baby It's Cold Outside. Song first recorded in 1959 by Dean Martin. Dean has been dead since 1995, but his daughter Deanna appeared on Fox and Friends yesterday and said her dad would be going insane over the debate if he were alive. She added the quote, he would say, what's the matter with you? Get over it. It's just a fun song, because he was so sweet anyway. He was a great guy, fun guy, and nice, and he wouldn't want to do anything offensive. As for herself, Deanna says she's flabbergasted over the controversy because, quote, it is a sweet, flirty, fun holiday song. And also doing some reading on it, pretty interesting. Back in the 60s, it was seen as a somewhat of a feminist anthem, because I think the kids are in school by now, but if you think about the song, the woman is in control of what's happening. I mean, she's I don't mean aggressor in a bad way, but she is a she's not a
she's a woman who knows what she wants.
Uh-huh. And you think about that. If all these people are offended by the song, what about that angle of it, that she was, she's in complete control? Mm-hmm. Now, I want to bring up another version of this song.
And there's nothing wrong with a woman who knows what she wants.
That's what I'm saying. So, I mean, listen to the song. Listen to the song. I think that's really flirty. That's really attractive.
Do you think the issue is because now there are children growing up who are hearing the song and asking questions?
I don't know.
The issue?
If they have nothing else to be...
Yeah, because there's a lot of things we can be offended about.
Right. This is not... So for those that we get offended easily, the Holderness family from YouTube fame, they're pretty funny. That's funny. Mm-hmm. They do little bits and skits and songs and all that stuff. And I mean, the whole bunch of them are talented. Have remade Baby, It's Cold Outside into Baby, Just Go Outside.
Yeah.
Okay? And we'll start wrapping it up with this. Here it is. From the top, Baby, Just Go Outside. This is the PC and the safe version of Baby, It's Cold Outside.
I really can't stay.
Okay, you're free to go.
I've got to go away.
Understood, no means no.
This evening has been
super appropriate.
So very nice.
But I do understand consent.
My mom will start to worry.
Definitely text her right now.
And father will be pacing the floor.
Here's the code and there is the
door. So really, I'd better scurry.
I am gonna stand over here.
Now maybe just a half a drink more.
You are in control of this thing.
The neighbors might think.
Invite them over if you like.
Say, what's in this drink?
Nothing but Sprite.
I wish I knew how.
Just walk right out the door.
To break the spell.
I do know how to spell harassment.
No,
I hear you loud and clear.
At least I'm gonna say that I tried.
I'm trying super hard.
Can't stay.
Please just go out, baby. Just go outside.
Must go.
Uber is right outside.
The answer is no.
Seriously, right outside.
The welcome has been.
I'll walk you to
so
the curb.
Nice and warm.
But totally consensual.
There's got to be talk tomorrow.
Hopefully not about
at
us.
At there will be plenty implied.
Please do not imply anything.
I really can't stay.
Baby, just go out. Baby, just go.
Baby, just go outside.
And the 2018 version of Baby, It's Cold Outside, it's Baby, Just Go Outside for the Holderness family. Maybe we'll get that linked up on our Facebook page where y'all can check it out and listen to it again and again safely this Christmas season. We're out of here for now.
Keep your hands to yourself.
That's right. Back tomorrow morning, bright and early, for another edition of Mobile Mornings. I'll be back at noon today for Midday Mobile. Reminder, too, on the Facebook or on the website, fmtalk1065.com, three big things. Mobile City Council members meet after the mayor announces the lawsuit. President Trump to meet with Democrats about the border wall shutdown and where the Trump-related investigations stand. Those three big things, stories waiting for you on our website, fmtalk1065.com.